Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. It is a historic day because I don't think Dr. Sherry Keffer, Dr. Dave Stoop have done radio together since... How long's it been, guys?
A long time. Way too long.
I think it was back in the Civil War days.
Civil War, yeah.
Probably 2-3 years.
I know.
No, those were good shows. Those were really good shows.
It's so fun to be here. I asked Lisa, I said, would you put me in with Dave? I miss him and want to be on with Dave and Steve.
And I'm so honored to share it with Sherry.
Well, we're glad that all of you have joined us, and if you want to join us by phone, you can do that. It's pretty easy. 1-800-229-3000. That's it. 1-800-229-3000. And Dave, you were just talking about one of your books there real quick. 500,000 copies or so?
Well, it's getting close to it. You are what you think. I was telling Sherry she's with the right publisher with Revell because they really work the backlist. The books that other publishers just let die, they put it into that small paperback, and people found it in the airports and grocery stores, and it kind of ran its course, and now they got it back in a trade size, so they keep playing with it.
Well, it's a great book, and if anybody hasn't read that, you know, we've got it. You can get it at most airports, but you don't have to take a flight to do it. So, you know,
get it from us, right? It helps to support us when they buy their books from us as well.
Yeah, no kidding. Please do. And we would love you to get a copy of that. Also, you know, we have this 100 Days of Prayer. And my mom loves it, and I think you will too. And also, it will change your life just to decide. For 100 days, I'm going to do some special prayer time. But in the meantime,
Sherry's book is now available in Target.
Is it really?
I never had a book available in Target.
Target just picked it up. That's kind of fun. So, Bullseye, right?
Boy, no, that's what you're looking for, and they don't do that lightly. So anyway, you know, one of the great joys of doing this program and having folks on is that, you know, people like Sherry can get a book published. It's very difficult. A lot of people just don't understand how difficult it is to get a book published. Publishing is so different today, and so many of the Christian bookstores are gone now. And if you have one in your area, be sure and support them in any way possible, because it really is a sad thing that's happened that our Christian bookstores have gone away. And I think each of them is a ministry in and of itself. But we have resources here, and there's hardly anything that you need that we don't have. Dave's books, Sherry's books, and then, of course, 100 Days of Prayer. 1-800-229-3000. That is the number right here. And let's go to Sue, Tucson, Arizona. We'll just start up right here and say hello to Sue. How you doing?
Hi, this is Sue.
Hi, Sue. How's it going?
How are you guys? Oh, it's been tough. I temporarily left my family due to verbal emotional abuse.
When you say your family, who did you leave?
A husband and children.
You left your children to be there with an emotionally abused husband?
Yes, I didn't know what else to do. That's why I'm calling you guys.
Well, we're going to hear about that. Now, you've got some kind of strange phone situation there that's kind of backing up. We're hearing me twice or something, so maybe you fix it. All right, so we're gonna hear about this, and so you hang on, and we'll take this break. 1-800-229-3000. We'll be back right after this. By the way, you're listening to New Life Live, and we have an 800 number for you to get help anytime, night or day. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And if somebody can't answer, they'll get back with you. You know, but we want to help you. Let us do that.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Sue. And Sue essentially just had enough, she was saying, and left the kids with the husband there. So, Sue, tell us about that. How old are your children?
Okay, so they're teenager, 18 down to 9.
Okay. Well, what was so bad that you decided, I've got to do this, I have to leave these kids?
Say it again?
What was so bad in this that you decided, okay, I have to leave these kids, I can't go on?
Okay, so ever since he lost his job, those 8 years ago, and he started staying home. I was homeschooling them, and then he started to kind of feel like, well, I have to take over because, you know, the subjects are getting too hard. And eventually, you know, he started just to be like tearing me down and talking in front of the kids. Discredited me and removing my authority. So, you know, I ask them to do something, they don't listen.
Mm.
And just, you know, to control all of my time, my activities, I am not able to do the things like my hobbies as much anymore because he wants to dedicate a lot of the time for homeschooling the kids, and then a couple of the kids go to public school.
Okay, so did you talk to anybody about this before you decided to leave?
I talked to my family members.
Uh-huh. And did anybody say it might be best to just hang in maybe just a little longer, or was everybody saying, get out now, or how did that go?
Well, it was like a family reunion we're supposed to go to, and in the last few years you started saying, well, we don't want to go, and you know, your family is no good for you, you should really see them less, and you, don't you think so? And you know, they're like not good for you and everything, and he also tears down my family, my parents, and my mother. My parents both passed away, but he's still...
Okay. Okay, so it sounds like you haven't really talked to anybody other than family members, then, and he doesn't really like them. They may not like him. I'm just going to, you know, Sherry has written this this book on betrayal and destruction, and Sherry, I'm just going to let you take over here and talk with her.
So, hey, Sue, thank you for calling in. I know that you wouldn't have called in unless this really hurt your heart, unless you're really concerned about it. Can I just share with you what I'm really worried about in light of you?
Okay.
mm-hmm. is you have a husband who is somewhat bullying you, right? He mm-hmm. lost his job and he was struggling mm-hmm. to find his identity. So he took yours mm-hmm. over, kind of like, I don't know if you remember, Dave, in the day they had these games, it was called Pac-Man, where the Pac-Man would just eat all these, you know, balls on the video mm-hmm. game. And it's kind of like he started mm-hmm. kind of eroding your world as it was. But and so that's not okay, right? We all are born and we have a dignity. We've got a person that we need to protect, which is ourselves and our kids. But my concern is, it's like it made you go to a very helpless, powerless place. So much so that you abandoned your kids. It's kind of like you felt mm-hmm. like they were all on his team and you got hurt, mm-hmm. but then you left.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So from your kids' perspective, mm-hmm. dad looks good. Dad's got the A team and mom is the one that left. It's kind of complicated your situation even more.
Yes, it did.
So when did you lose your power? When did you become powerless, helpless in this situation?
Well, so about 8 years is when the heat started to come a lot more, you know, when the job ended. And then last few years, you know, he started to, you know, say, well, you know, don't, you know, do those church activities anymore. And, you know, really just slow down on just trying to get integrated with, you know, people at church, and you can't really trust them and stuff like that.
I get it, and we heard that, but so, why did you give in? Why have you given in? What about
what?
Yous? Him, the bully? Him?
Uh-huh.
What in you gave up?
Well, he just keeps on wearing me down every day. Like, and any little thing that he says has to be linked to my mother. And so I started just, I told him, I said, can you just please not, you know, link every little thing. So kids, you know, leave their socks on the floor. Okay, well, you know, your mother, you know, it started being just not even stuff
okay.
that she wouldn't even do.
Yeah. But nothing you're saying is more than words that he's saying here and
Sue,
kind of beating.
So why don't you have a support team around you of other women?
Well, I did. I had I met with two women, and I was just doing that. And then one day I didn't tell him because I don't think that he was going to want me to. And then
whoa,
he found out.
Whoa,
he's like,
wait. You were meeting with a couple of women, but not telling them what was going on because you didn't think he would want you to.
I wasn't telling him that I was meeting
him.
Oh,
okay. Okay, I missed that.
And then,
okay, so Sherry, she's going to need some direction here. I think we get the picture and the details are, yeah. So can you help her, give her some direction here that could change things for her?
Yeah, you're going to have to turn this around, girl. I'm going to ask you to do the brave thing. You got to get back with your kids. Now, I don't know if that means you're going to get back with your kids and he's going to be under the same roof with you, or you're going to get back with your kids and your kids are going to have to travel between two roofs. But the fact that you have left your home...
Is it two rooms or two homes?
Two.
It could be two rooms. It could be two places. I don't know. But you need to get back with your kids. Because if you don't fight for them right now, you will go down in their history is the mom that is weak and that left us. That's not what you want as your legacy, my dear, right? Mm-hmm. That's not who you are. But you can't roll over. So what that means is I can appreciate that you met with two women, but you're going to need to meet with a therapist, someone like myself or Dave, that can help coach you into how to get your position back in your home with your children.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have a support system, Sue. You got to build a support system. You don't do it alone because you can't do it alone. You've been trying to do it alone, and you got to get some women around you who are going to back you, who are going to be your encourager, and going to make you, give you a backbone again.
What was your question there after Sherry said that?
So my question, because, you know, like, my husband was trying to ease me back in, and he said, well, how about, you know, we just have a few days where we just don't talk about this and just ease you back in.
Yeah, see, so these are things you're, this is why you need a therapist, a counselor, a Christian counselor, not just some friends or folks that are pulling for you, but you need some professional ongoing help to help you deal with those kinds of questions. If your husband says, let's just ease you back in and not talk about it, my advice to you is to go ease back in and don't talk about it, but get back there with your kids.
Yeah.
Go home.
And get help.
And then you get help, and then you can look at some other options there. But as long as you're outside of the home and he is in full control of those kids, you actually have the risk of losing your kids completely. Mm-hmm. Do you understand that? That we're being a little tough on you, directing you a little bit more than normal, because this is the reality. And I don't know, but you've got to have some professional help. You've got to have support, prayer support, but you can't just have one of either. You need it all.
And you know what, Sue, the reality is sitting with a marriage therapist, I mean, Dave, you and I would both go, there's a power differential here. This isn't okay. And so we would advocate for you.
Yeah.
But when you run away from home, we can't advocate for you. So get a therapist, one of our, stay on the line and we'll hook you into one of our New Life folks, therapists. Get somebody on your team that has some horsepower that can walk with you.
Yeah, if we were talking with him, we'd be saying things like, you know, wow, I mean, dude, you've caused a mom to leave home. You got to deal with this and do something different here, because this isn't good.
We might even say, why don't you get a different job? You took her job away.
We might.
Those kind of things, right?
Yeah. I think it'd almost be guaranteed we'd say that. All right, so I want you to hold on, and I'm going to send you Leslie Vernick's book, The Emotionally Destructive Marriage, and then we'll just leave it at that, and maybe that will be a blessing to you there. But hold on, man, I tell you, it is important that we get the support we need to make the best decision possible, even when things get tough. All right, let's go to Catherine, Flint, Michigan. Hi, Catherine, how you doing?
And what's going on with you today? Hi, how are you this afternoon?
Great. What's happening with you?
Hello?
Yeah. What's going on with you?
Well, I attend church on a regular basis, and I volunteer with a small group of women. We meet a couple times a week to do church work, and we're all in our late 60s and early 70s, and we want to know how to talk to our pastor about a particular issue that we have noticed growing in the past 12 to 18 months, and it's a boundary issue, and it's the Las Vegas style of dressing that many of the middle-aged women and younger women are wearing to church on Sundays and to church events. Lots of cleavage, lots of mini skirts, and we just don't know how to approach him and do this in a very respectful and non-judgmental type of way.
Okay, so you think it's more than just you know, a little less than conservative. You think it's just really out of hand.
Well, we have a welcome center at church, and last Sunday I think that was the what made us, well, I sort of got elected to call you guys. One of the ladies at the welcome center is in her late 60s, and she was wearing a black fringe dress, very low cut top, and very short skirt. And this is sort of the way a lot of the women have been dressing to come to church. It's not church. It's dressing more for an evening out at the theater or an evening out at a bar or...
Okay.
Yeah. And I want you to know something. Most of these women are lovely women. They do a lot of volunteer work. They're very kind.
Yeah.
But they've forgotten how to dress to come to church.
Now, let me ask you. Okay, go ahead, Dave.
What do you want the pastor to do?
Well, that's just it. I'm not sure. I don't know what is going on with pastors at other churches. Is this a problem that is addressed? Is this how does one speak to a congregation of women and say, how does one approach this subject?
Okay.
I think it's a great topic. And I'm so glad you're bringing it up, because I'll be really honest with you, as a female, I see women and I take a double take, because I think as a culture, we've lost the idea. We don't even think about how the men look at our bodies. In fact, I think women use that as power, and it's gone off track.
I did come into the weekend with an expectation to sort out probably something that couldn't be fixed.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C., July 20th to the 22nd.
There is a third person in our marriage, and it's not Jesus. It's a voice that is harsh, and it's put a wall between us.
Join Steve Arterburn.
I'm going to be talking about 7 different secrets from the Mediterranean. You do these, and they lead you to a life of passion and meaning and romance and deep, intimate connection.
And Mylon and Kay Yurkovich.
We're going to be talking about the emotional, sexual, and relational journey that all couples go on over the course of a lifetime together.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com.
I really feel like we have somewhere to go and a future, and we have hope.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man, and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me, and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Let's talk with Sherry here. Sherry, so you really...
I see it. I see it. Catherine,
and Dave and I see it, too. You know, we see this. But you have an interesting angle on it, the power thing. Talk about that.
Yeah. So I think in our culture today, women have lost the idea that of how powerful their femininity is, just in and of itself, just because they're female. So they feel like they have to show their body parts in order to get looks, in order to feel wanted. And in essence, it's wanting that power. I want to be chosen. I want to belong. I want you to want me. But the way they're going about it is really backwards. And so, you know what I was thinking? Let me tell you what helped me figure out how I wanted to dress. Is the more that I began to learn about men and how they're made and how visual they are, and, you know, I began to treat them more as brothers, as someone that I respect. I don't want to pull their attention to my body parts. I want them to be at church and worshiping and with their families and not really distracted. I don't want to be that distraction. I want to blend in and be a part of a community. So what if you talk to your pastor, and what if you guys did a workshop on understanding women and men and celebrating them? And while you're there, do some education. Talk about the differences between men and women. Talk about how men do, if they see a woman and she's wearing a short skirt, they're not thinking about what the pastor's saying. They're thinking about what's underneath that. And that's just how men are made. And so I think women need to be educated.
They don't know where to look when you come in dressed like this, and then they're haunted by this vision. And I heard a man say one time that men's brains are like pop-up videos, that some of these visions can come back to them months later, completely unexpectedly. And why would any woman want to be responsible for doing that to a man?
It's
a power trip.
Yeah, I get it. I had a man tell me recently that he was at church. There was a woman that was kind of dressed the Vegas style, and he had an erection in church.
Mm.
And, you know, it wasn't something that he planned on. But again, as women, we have amazing power, but with that comes amazing responsibility.
Yeah. Okay.
I think where you begin is you get a meeting with the pastor and raise that as a problem in our culture that's invading the church, and say, what can we do about it? And I think Sherry's idea of doing a workshop is an excellent approach to the beginning, but get it to become a subject of conversation with the pastor, and then hopefully it spreads beyond that to the congregation.
I think you have two issues, though. One is the person who is a regular attender and on the welcoming committee. And then you have the other issue of people that are new to the church. They don't necessarily know. They may not even be a believer. And so you have two separate problems here. And you don't want to run people off because, you know, they think you don't like the way they're dressed, and so it's a touchy thing. But I do think it's important that a pastor from time to time takes the time to say, you know, I want to address something that's come up, and do it in a nice, tasteful, non-shaming way, and get women to do that. And sometimes it really is an approach of doing a message on, you know, the difference between male and female brains can be the way. The other thing is, if it's somebody that is, you know, involved in the church, you might just decide to take them to coffee and you have a chat with them. But if you're not very good at those chats being supportive and loving, then maybe not. But yeah, definitely worth just saying to the pastor, here's something that kind of bothers me, and I'm wondering what your take is and what, you know, maybe we could do to lessen the problem at our church. Okay? And I'm going to send you a copy of Dave's book, You Are What You Think. And if you're sitting in church thinking about the way a woman's dressed, then, you know, then you're a guy. That's not good. You can't focus on the message.
Well, and if you're listening today and you're a woman, we just ask that you really think about the men. You think about not being a distraction to them and honoring them when they're there. Yeah. Give them the chance to really rest without being triggered at looking at your body, and give them a chance to really just be in the Word.
Yeah, you know, you're either kind of an every man's battle warrior, or you're part of the battle. And so let's help
you're
these
a casualty.
Guys. And, you know, it is a guy's responsibility, what he does with his eyes and his mind and all of that. But also, you know, it's your responsibility, too, to be sensitive and to be helpful and not hurtful.
I think it's a case of the culture invading the church, and the church kind of being unaware or not paying attention to it and not dealing with or speaking to it.
Yeah, being afraid to talk about it because they don't want to hurt or offend. But it doesn't have to be offensive.
No, it can be educational.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So here's the bottom line. Are you dressing respectfully? Are you dressing to get attention? Well, maybe And this is for men and women. Maybe the church isn't the place where you have to get that attention. Maybe you can do it somewhere else and give yourself a break and everybody else. One day a week. It'd be a good thing. We'll take a break. We'll come right back for more of New Life Live. If you have some problem you want to talk to us about, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That is the number. Please call us. Let us help.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, if you agree or disagree, you can always let us know. You know, you can send us an email. It's a tough issue, always a tough issue. And the easy thing is, let's don't talk about it. Let's don't answer that phone call. But we need to. Because a lot of people are concerned about it. It is a cultural thing. All right, let's talk to Larry Sonnenberg here. Larry,
Hey, Steve.
Usually in about this time, and I know you've got a letter.
Well, I got a letter and also a phone call. The letter, real quickly, a lady wrote a letter. Her husband had to go, was arrested for child pornography, blew up their house. But she says, "Today I feel at peace. Your program is so helpful in my recovery. I listen to you on a daily basis, and I laugh, cry, and I have hope, and I feel empowered by God to do all things through Him."
Mm.
And what more could you ask for from a radio program?
And out of a very devastating situation.
Oh,
I mean, that's probably
situation.
One of the most devastating situations
I think so.
Definitely.
And that's why we seek support. And the other phone call, real quickly. And this tickles me because I have been kind of on people's case who listen for years and never give and think I'll do it next week or next month, and it turns into next year or 2 or 3 years. A lady heard our program for the very first time, listened on Sirius XM, heard us seeking support, called and joined Club New Life. First time.
Wow. She must have liked the program.
I think you were on it, Dave.
I was going to say, I bet you Dave is on.
But yeah. I want to thank her, and I want that to maybe be a little bit of a check in somebody's spirit who has been stalling, waiting, wondering, kind of on a fence. Do I give? Do I don't? Please help us.
Well, Larry, I'd rather it be a check in the mail than a check in their spirit, and because we need your help. We need your help, and if you can possibly help us, please let us know. Please call us, and say you can be part of the New Life Giving family.
And especially Club New Life. We need six new Club New Life people every day. Every day we need six of you to sign up.
We're catching up in July. We had a bad first week.
First week. Yesterday was better, so I think today could be a momentum builder.
But you know what's amazing about Club New Life is it's not like they join and they don't get anything. They get all the books that y'all have written. They get a CD that comes with it, and it's auto-debited. So what happens is you end up signing the video library, which is huge, and it just comes out of your monthly auto-debit. And you know what? You don't even know it's gone. It's one of those things that you just do. Once you say yes, you let it go out of the account. And you don't feel it, really. You don't.
Yeah.
Not when it comes down to
the...
It makes a huge difference here.
Yeah. So call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Sign up for Club New Life. We'll send you 8 books in the Arterburn Wellness Series. 8 books. And access to this amazing video library. Only way you can get access to it. A gift of any amount. We'll send you 12 samples of it. I think you'll like it, and it'll make you want to be a member of Club New Life. Thank you, Larry, with us. We need your help. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. All right, let's go to Ann. She's calling for Rancho Cucamonga, and that, of course, is one of my favorite towns to ever pronounce, Rancho Cucamonga. All right, hi, welcome, and thanks for calling so I could say that, Rancho Cucamonga.
Good morning. Thank you for your taking my call.
Sure. How can we
help? I'm interested in how to support my husband with boundaries. Well, my in-laws maintain the status quo of their past behavior with him.
Hmm. Okay, what's going on?
The incident for me, the trigger was August 2016 on a family cruise with a brother who has an anger management issue. And I knew the mother-in-law was invested, but I got to see the level of it. And after we got back, we started working through Mylan's book with How We Love, and we worked through that to understand that I'm the vacillator in the relationship and my husband is the pleaser. And over 2 years of emails and stuff, the family, we have no relationship with the brother, really, but my husband feels that we still need to honor and respect our parents. We're the only believers in the family, and so we're expected to be the Christians and forgive. And I have stepped emotionally out of the relationship with the in-laws. The pattern now is for them to call the avoider father-in-law, starts the conversation, hands it off to the controlling mother-in-law, and my husband just gives information. And I've asked him to stop giving information about me, and I'm at the point where we've been to biblical counseling, and the counselor said, you need to honor your wife and to see her as the weaker brother in this relationship. And so we're at an impasse of what do we do about going forward?
And you don't feel he honors you at all in this, huh?
He does. He's learning how to understand my feelings about it and he is beginning to understand that.
Okay. Well, Dave, you want to get us started here? What are you thinking?
Well, it's a typical kind of a problem where you're caught up. He's caught up in his loyalty issue between his family of origin and his new family with you. And you're on the right track because he's supposed to leave and cleave to the wife, and the family of origin begins to take a back seat to that. If he's doing that, I would just remind him before the call comes, say, no information this time, just chit-chat and keep it short. And reward every time that he does that, and it's going to take time because it's a tug of war on the inside to kind of do the typical way, the predictable way, and that doesn't please you, and so he's got to learn to. He's learning. It sounds like he's learning, and that's encouraging. So stay with it.
As a pleaser,
be patient.
As a pleaser, I know it's hard for him, but I try to encourage him to say, "Well, why don't you change the conversation and and confront them about the status quo that they're doing this, and he's not really ready to do that yet. So,
well,
I know practice.
Do some role playing where you help him decide how he might say something, and then give him the freedom to do it when he feels ready to do it, instead of pressure.
Okay.
But remind him before the call comes or before the call is made to say, remember what we're trying to learn to do, and be an encouragement. Give him an attaboy when he does well.
Okay, Sherry, okay. Comment here?
Yeah, so, and you grew up in a home where there was a tug of war, didn't you? That there was,
yes,
loyalties that were split.
I had an angry parent and a enabling other parent. So.
Yeah, so guess what? You're enabling other parent. Sometimes your husband, you put, who was that, your mom?
That's my dad.
Your dad. So your dad enabled. So, and your mom was angry. So sometimes,
yes,
I think your trauma history gets its wires crossed, and you,
yes,
put your dad's face on your husband.
Right.
Because
he feels that. He tells me that. This is not my issue. This is your, about your parents. And I go, okay.
So this is the truth. This is the truth. It's a both,
mm-hmm,
and. It's,
mm-hmm,
a both and. I'm trauma squared, meaning I had trauma in my family of origin, and I had trauma and some stuff happened in my marriage. Guess what? This event, mm-hmm, that just happened in 2016 created, mm-hmm, a trigger for you. But,
yeah,
okay, so he's doing his work, but I want you to go back in. I want you to take this opportunity as an invitation to go back and do some deeper work in your heart, because those triggers need to be dealt with. Our triggers are,
okay,
basically wounds that still have some debriding or some wound cleaning out that needs to happen. And really, this just kind of told you, hey, I'm not done yet. I'm not cooked yet. I have some,
right,
more work to do. So would you do your part? Because that will help encourage your husband so he doesn't feel ignored and doesn't feel like he's carrying the sole burden, and he'll watch,
right,
you go in and do some work as well.
I think the profound thing in what you just said is that it's dual. It's both.
It's both.
And to say to,
right,
your husband, say, it triggers things in me, that's true. But it's also based,
right,
on what goes on with you. It's both of us. So help me and I'll help you, and we'll make a winning combination out of this.
Well, hope that's,
you,
helpful to you. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back. I hope that's great, great way to learn to not be reactive or reactionary or whatever. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. We've got one more segment here. And really glad you're with us here today. Don't forget, we need your support. Always need your support. Always will. Can't do it without you. Never have. Never will be able to. If God's leading you, give us a call at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Whether you need help or you can help us, we're right there. We want to be there for you. We'll take this break. We'll come right back for more of New Life Live. Glad you're with us today. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
This is Terry McIntosh, and I want to remind you that if there's a struggle you're facing, a relationship issue, or just a desire to improve your life, we have a nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors that we can connect you to. They've been interviewed and their credentials verified, so if we can help you with that, give us a call at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Also, we have an app for your smartphone or tablet that allows you to live stream New Life Live, catch up on archive programs, read articles, and there's short audio and video teachings as well. Just go to newlife.com and look for the download the app link. It's at the bottom of the homepage. Steve, back to you.
Okay, thank you, Terry. Let's go to Michelle. Hi, Michelle. Welcome to New Life. Hope you're doing all right today. How could we help you today? Hi. How could we help?
Hi. Hi. I have a question. This is in regards to my parents.
Okay.
I am an older woman. I'm 40, almost 49, and my parents are around 69.
Okay.
It's been a very long, tumultuous relationship, especially with me and my mom. My dad basically kind of was in the background as an enabler toward for my mom.
Yeah.
He always sided with her because he had to live with her, I guess.
Yeah.
I have other siblings, and I am the oldest. So basically, me and my mom have never gotten along, and it stems from mental and verbal abuse.
Mm.
Really bad, in my opinion. I mean, it's obviously bad enough for me to have to deal with it every single day in my mind, deal with it, you know, on other occasions still today, you know, at a family events or whatever.
What's the question for us then? How can we help you?
My question is, I've been away for 3 weeks, and I've been trying to think about whether or not I should go home and at this point talk to them face-to-face. I mean, I've tried talking to my mom on several occasions, and all she does is do the blame game and or turns the tables or gets mad and yells, and it's over with in a heated argument. So it's really hard to tell her how I feel or what I know she did to me growing up. Like, it's never been discussed, and I don't even know if my dad even knows the extent of it.
Okay.
So I don't know what I'm at this point.
Okay. So, Sherry, why don't you start us off? Based on what you've heard, what are you thinking? And then you, Dave. We don't have a lot of time, but...
Well, it sounds like your mom's not safe right now. And it sounds like to do that right now is kind of like, you know, giving her a knife to cut you. So that doesn't mean you're not going to need to do some work with her. But I think my first goal for you is helping you begin to look at how her mental and verbal abuse is still impacting you every day. That sounds exhausting, Michelle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exhausting.
It is exhausting.
Yeah. So what are you doing?
I torture myself every day.
Oh, honey. What are you doing to take care of you? To focus in on your wounds? To help you heal? before you bravely go and confront her.
Nothing's going to be different in confronting her, Michelle. It's going to be the same old stuff because her experience of your growing up years are totally different than your experience. And what you're fighting with now is not your real mom. It's the mom that lives in your head, and she's there. I mean, your mom could pass on to the next life, and you'd still be fighting the battle because she's taken up residence in your head. So that's the person
right.
you want to confront.
That's what I worry about.
Okay, well, so here's the thing. You have to get help for you first,
well,
really.
And you've got to deal with that mother that's in your head. And the way to do that is not to deal directly with your mother, but to deal with it. I would write her an angry, nasty letter that you never show her. Make sure you hear me say that. You never show it to her. You never discuss it with her because it's a letter to that mom that's living in your head. And get that in order and get through the healing process. Then maybe you can do something with your mom in the real life, but that's not your goal right now. You got to deal with that mom in your head.
Well, something tells me that is not what you want to hear, but it really is the best.
Yeah.
It's the best advice to free you. I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back, and I think that's going to be a blessing. Let me just talk to you for a minute, everybody. You know, here is this precious child that's born into this world, and here's a what should be parents that love that child and want to nurture that child. And if you're one of these people at age 49 or whatever, and you feel shame, like you're worthless or something like that, that's not an accident. Something happened to you, and you don't have to live that way for the rest of your life. You can get beyond that. You can have some victory in that area, but you're going to have to get some help to resolve it. And waiting for that person to get better just may never happen. They may be dead before they get better. You don't have to live dead or waiting for them to be before you have a life. It's not an accident. It's not you. It's them. They put that in there, and you're living with it. Normal, healthy people don't wake up and go, when they finally let it sink in, I think I'm worthless, or I think I'm inferior, I'm not as good as everybody else. That came from some place. It came from sick parents that didn't know how to be parents. Do something. Don't let that destroy every relationship around you. Don't let it destroy your peace and your well-being. We want better for you.
And it's important that it doesn't have to. It doesn't involve the other person. I dealt with my father issues 20 years after he had died.
Yeah.
Because I was dealing with the father that lived in my head.
Yeah. Don't wait. Do something. Let us help you. We want to. I'm really glad that she called. Well, we're almost out of time. Remind you of some things. July the 20th, our Intimacy in Marriage Intensive. It is filling up. We've had great turnout for this. It's the 20th of July in Washington, D.C., and it's going to be spectacular. They always are. And if you've been looking for something that literally could change everything, well, this is it. And there's no reason for you to wait any longer. You can come, and it'll change things. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We've got Every Man's Battle coming up in August. It comes up every month. So please, don't just live in misery and suffering. We've got counselors to help you deal with this very issue we were just dealing with. We've got counselors that can help you find freedom and hope and a whole new life, but you got to call us. So please, please do. Let us help you. That's what we're here for. And that number, it's always the same, is 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It really could be the beginning of a whole new life for you, but you have to call us first. You know, I was just thinking this morning about how God wants so much for us. God has given us so much. And we focus on some level of brokenness, or we focus on somebody else's brokenness, and it consumes us. And God says, I want you to be free. I don't want you to just be free from addictions and all of those things, which he does. I want you to be free of the obsessions and the compulsions of life that are making you miserable. But you have to be willing. to get some help to experience that kind of freedom. And we want to help you. So would you call us? 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Sherry. All of you, bless you. Thanks to those that support us. Come join Club New Life. I don't think you'll ever regret it. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.